are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Moretz. What's on the program to put some money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. Another full house on the program this afternoon. We're sending it straight to the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Dave Malinsky will join us. Sportsbookreview.com's Dave Malinsky. You can read his column on the front page of sportsbookreview.com. It's called Vegas Point Blank. And we are in Point Blank Rage this afternoon. Dave will join us. We're going to talk some NFL football. We'll talk some college football. We'll try to get some basketball in as well. You like basketball? Pete Yiannopoulos in the house. We're talking NBA basketball, maybe a little college ball with Pete Yiannopoulos. Mike Cardano, who's he? He returns to the rotation. Seems like it's been a little while since Mike Cardano has joined us. We're going to talk some NFL football with Mike Cardano. And Mike's been a grumpy old man on Twitter the last couple of days. I like it. I've been a grumpy old man on Twitter for the last couple of years. So me and Mike are in agreement about a lot of things that are wrong with society and with the National Football League and football as a whole. So, we got a lot of stuff to get to on the program this evening. Last night, good picks last night. We told you Lamar Miller under 70.5 rushing yards, cash it. Told you Alex Collins under 66.5 rushing yards, cash it. Told you long field goal over, cash it. Gave it to Houston, Texas, plus the 7.5, cash it. We got the push, depending on when you bet it. And listen, guys, you got to buy half points, okay? I can't sit here all day and say buy half point here, buy half point there. I'm going to tell you right now, I never bet games that are on a half, okay? Because I know I'm going to get screwed. When I lose bets, I rarely get blown out. I always lose by a half a point or 1 point. And the lines are pretty sharp. Last night was a good example. We gave you the Lakers at plus 5 during the day. It went down to 4.5. They ended up losing by exactly 5. I actually bought it up to 6 at one book because I knew it might come down to write this. You know, the NBA lines are extremely sharp, so proceed with caution. I know a lot of people are going to tell you in the long run it's going to screw you if you always buy a half a point, but, you know, whatever. I don't mind, okay? You know, screw me. I'll buy the half a point, all right? So, yeah, we got a lot of picks for you this evening. Not a great card tonight, but, you know, whatever, man. We're not going to judge whether it's a great card until about 2 in the morning tonight. And as you can tell, I'm a little bit under the weather. I know I'm usually very smooth-sounding, Barry White-ish. Everything's going to be all right. I know I'm not very Barry White-ish, but yeah, a little bit under the weather, but we fight through it. We fight through it. And I want to be getting some rest. You know, I was at a doctor yesterday. I've got all kinds of... I went to a doctor for another condition. Nothing to do with me being sick. And doctor's like, dude, you got to start getting more rest. Like, you just can't. You're not going to get better. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go to bed earlier. Then there I am last night at about 1:30 in the morning, raging about Lonzo Ball and the L.A. Lakers. There's been a lot of talk about Lonzo Ball, obviously, over the last year or so. And he was heavily hyped coming into the NBA. And the same people that overhyped Lonzo Ball coming into the NBA, the same people that overhyped Johnny Manziel, are now, you know, taking shots at Lonzo Ball. Welcome to the big leagues, Lonzo. The people that love you built you up only to tear you down. Now, the fact of the matter is, Lonzo Ball is not a bust, all right? Lonzo Ball is exactly who I thought he was going to be in the NBA, and I'll give him credit. He actually rebounds a little bit more than I thought, but the basketball IQ is lower than I thought. You know, basically, he wasn't worth the second overall pick, and I don't believe he's being handled properly right now, and I'm not so sure that Luke Walton is the right coach for this team. You know, Luke Walton's reputation was built on what he did with the Golden State Warriors. Come on, man. You know, Steve Kerr was still putting everything together. Steve Kerr was still in the building. Steve Kerr was at practices, man. Steve Kerr just wasn't at the games, okay? He basically managed the situation. You know, you or I could coach the Golden State Warriors. Hey, Curry, hit a three. You know, like, come on, man. They're deep as hell. And, you know, he did a good job managing the team when Kerr was out. But I don't know if Luke Walton's the right fit for this Laker team. And it's not often that I agree with LeVar Ball, but I agree with LeVar Ball. LeVar Ball says Walton's not hard enough on the Lakers, and he's got to be harder on Lonzo Ball as well. And it seems like there's an acceptance with the L.A. Lakers when they lose these games. This was a winnable game last night, okay? a winnable game against a Clipper team who's banged up. Griffin was out of the game late. Then beating you 15 out of the last 16 times. At some point, you have to win these games. It's not just acceptable to hang around if you're the L.A. Lakers. And you know what else is not acceptable? For Lonzo freaking Ball to be shooting three-point shots with 11 seconds left. The ball didn't even hit the rim. You know, what was he, 1-for-7 from three-point land? You know, spend less time worrying about your big baller brand, bro, and more time in a freaking gym learning how to shoot a damn jump shot. You're the second overall pick in the NBA draft. You don't play defense. Here's my impression of Lonzo Ball playing defense. Oh, here he is. Yeah, look. He's not even putting his hands up. He's watching. Look, I'm Lonzo Ball. That's not defense. Dude. Jump. Yeah. Get in front of him. This guy had 42 points yesterday because this guy does this. Look at these guys. What do you notice here? None of them are sweating. They don't even sweat. Look, they're all dry as a bone. I'm sweating more doing the show. Lonzo Ball didn't sweat once last night. Well, it's hard to sweat when you don't do anything. He's not a bust. It's still early. Give the guy a couple of years. But hey, dude, you better start to figure it the hell out pretty soon. All right? And Zoe, you need to start listening to your father. Stop shooting. Pass the damn ball and stay in your lane. Game Time Decisions continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. As I stated, I'm sweating more than Lonzo Ball did last night. Is he that cool that he doesn't sweat at all, or is it the fact that you're not hustling? You know, the defense, man. I swear, how many times you had your hands up while Lou Williams just walked past? At one point, during late in the game, before Griffin got hurt, Griffin just sort of casually, like he was in a slam dunk competition. He started at the top of the key. He was like, he took a step. He's like, well, it doesn't look like anyone's really going to do anything, so I might as well just go in and dunk it. And they did. You know, Lou Williams had 42 points. And, you know, LeVar Ball said a couple of weeks ago, he doesn't like how Luke Walton, and we thought the LeVar would be a distraction for them. He really hasn't been. But he wasn't ripping Walton, but he goes, I know my son. And he goes, you got to be, you know, he's too soft on Lonzo. He goes, you got to get in his face, enough babying him. You know, he's got to play better. And LeVar is saying this publicly. And LeVar went on to say, I think he babies the whole team too much. And he goes, they have enough talent to win games, and they're not. Now, listen, they don't have the most talent in the NBA, but they should win more than they don't. And I know no one's really going to point the finger at Luke Walton, but I don't know if a young coach is a good fit with a young team. On paper, it might seem like a good idea, but I don't know if these young guys fear Walton. And Walton seems to be letting this losing culture seep in right now. Let's bring Dave Malinsky in. Wasn't planned to talk to Dave about this, but I'd like to get his quick thoughts on my opinion on Luke Walton. What do you think?
Yeah, it was an odd fit from the start in that you would rather see Walton trying to revive a place that's more settled, you know, and bring some energy in. Energy isn't what the Lakers need. The Lakers actually need to be settled down a little bit.
They need a babysitter.
They need a calming influence.
Yeah, they need a guider, right? They need a guider, like a Tom Thibodeau type.
Oh, no, I'm not sure if Thibodeau necessarily fits because we're seeing in Minnesota.
Well, he would get upset, but I'm with his defense. But I'm saying that, to me, they need an established coach that's proven something. Because I know that Walton, you know, Walton won a bit with Golden State when Kerr was out. and he was an assistant. But kids are punks nowadays. So unless you really have something that impresses them, they're not going to respect you. Or unless you're just a tyrant. You know, I know there's a fine line here, Dave, but I'm just going, I don't think his style, his approach is a good fit for the type of team that they have.
No, they need a disciplinarian. They need a guy who, when he walks in the room, everyone else goes quiet.
Yes.
And they don't have to, because here's the problem. Most of these young Lakers don't know how to play. You know, you've got way too many one-and-dones on the same roster. So it's not like they can be whispering ideas around each other. They genuinely don't know. So they need someone.
He doesn't play Clarkson enough either, Dave. Drives me crazy.
You know, there's a good and a bad there, though, with that, in that when Clarkson can think score only, you know, put him out there for about half the game, let him shoot on the majority of his touches, he becomes very effective, and he also doesn't drag your team down. So Clarkson's shots per minute are fine when he plays about 24 minutes, but you put him out there in the 30s at the same shots per minute rate, and it starts to now drag the team down. So that's actually a delicate balance with him. He is explosive enough to just go out there and score for about half the game, but for more than half the game, if he's just going out there to score, it ruins the chemistry.
Well, I'll put it this way. I'd rather have Jordan Clarkson taking a three when a point spread's five and there's 11 seconds left in the basketball game than Lonzo Ball. I don't know what the hell he was thinking when he took that shot. To come out of a time, 11 seconds left, last, you know, final stand, he heaves up a three. It doesn't even hit the damn rim. It would be all pathetic, but nevertheless, we hit the over. We hit the second half over. It was a profitable game for us in the end. So, Dave, let's jump right in here. College football rankings going to be coming out tonight, and there seems to be many people, the bracketologists, so to speak, the Jerry Palms of the world, they believe that Oklahoma is going to be the number one team on the board tonight. I'm not going to go crazy about whatever the rankings are this week because they don't mean anything. Next week they do. But this is real, and the scenarios are starting to sort of play themselves out. I think, if Wisconsin wins, they're obviously in. But I think if Ohio State wins, Dave, they'll put Bama with a one-loss Bama team ahead of a two-loss Ohio State team. Even Ohio State played a more difficult schedule. I think it's an easy sell. I think they're going to want to get Bama in here somehow. And, you know, you think that potentially TCU could really shake things up in this projection, because you think they can hang with the Oklahoma Sooners this week.
It would be a shock, you know, if TCU won. Now, here's the one thing that does matter in the rankings this week, and this is going to be the fascination. Where do they put Alabama now? Because that'll give you a little bit of an idea of where they fit in the grand scheme of things. If they still have Alabama in the top four today, and in truth, if you believe you're going to have Bama there next week, you put him there today. You deal with that part of the publicity from the start. But it is going to be awkward. Something I know you and I talked about on another media thing yesterday. I would be so lousy on this committee because my top four right now are Alabama, Clemson, Auburn, and Georgia. And you couldn't possibly put three SEC teams in that field. And I do understand that. But guess what? Georgia is better than Oklahoma, better than Wisconsin, better than Ohio State. Auburn is certainly better than those teams. So if the goal is to just get the four best, and this is what people need to understand in terms of Alabama's ranking. The reason there's a committee is so nobody says, well, you didn't win your conference, blah, blah. No, the reason there's a committee is you're just supposed to pick the four best teams. And what the committee's task is, guys, go sit in the room, figure it out, just give us the four best teams. And if you're going to have the four best teams in the playoffs, Alabama has got to be in the playoffs.
If I was in charge, I would have it. If you didn't win your conference, I don't care. You're out.
No, but the problem
I would have, Dave, the five power conferences.
If one conference is so much better than the other, that creates an unfairness. And that
life's unfair. Life's unfair.
Auburn and Alabama would walk through
the
Pac-12.
But, Dave, there's already unfairness with the way the conferences have their divisions and stuff. There's already inherent unfairness is sort of built in. I get it. I would have room for a few wild cards. I can live with an 18 playoff. The five power conference winners are automatically in, and then you have your three wild cards. I can live with that. You know, because to me right now, it's just, you know, as you stated, what are we doing? Are we putting the best teams in? Are you putting your conference in? But college football loves this. They love the debate. They like that we're talking about it. They've always liked it. This is what's always driven college football, the debate and the conversation.
Oh, I mean, the one number I would love to see, how much has ESPN earned by putting that pairing show out there every week over the month of November when it doesn't matter at all? You know, it's only the final set that matters, but look at the advertising dollars generate.
They'll be outraged tonight after the rankings, no matter what they are. You know what I mean? Twitter's going to blow up. It's going to be outrage. And it's going to play itself out this weekend. So that's the beautiful thing about championship weekend, Dave. And all we need is a few upsets, and we get some real chaos.
And it's not out of the question at all. So let's say Ohio State wins. There's your two-loss team in there. Let's say Georgia beats Auburn. They can do that. TCU beats Oklahoma. They can do that. It has a chance to get really, really scrambled up.
All right, so Ohio State and Wisconsin. I don't think this Buckeye team is great, Dave. You know, Michigan could have had success if O'Korn could make a play. Wisconsin's quarterback isn't great. But, you know, we saw Chris Evans have some success on the ground. And Michigan's not a great running football team. But Michigan did run the football pretty successfully at times against Ohio State. I don't trust Ohio State laying 7 here. I think it's too high, personally. I'm going to be on the Badgers.
Yeah, I mean, Ohio State is very, very quick on defense. And sometimes the best way to attack a quick defense, line up and mash right at them. That's what Wisconsin does. So they may frustrate Ohio State a little bit. The difficulty with Wisconsin is you have to sweat for four quarters that there aren't a couple of speed plays made that you can't overcome. Because Wisconsin's not able to make that play.
They can't throw the ball after if they're going to have problems, yeah.
They don't have that, but can they line up and muscle and maybe wear down that Ohio State defensive front a little bit? Yes, that is what they do.
All right, so I'm looking extremely forward to college football. College football season's been way more entertaining than the National Football League has this year. But with that being stated, we have some big games in the NFC this weekend. Panthers at Saints, Vikings, Falcons, Eagles, and Seahawks. Pretty big game in the AFC with the Bills and the Patriots as well. This Panthers-Saints game is a pretty big one. Division supremacy here, Dave.
It is. Both come in wounded. You know, that New Orleans defense, back-to-back weeks, has played without a couple of key starters, five different guys involved. So they've lost a notch. But how big is Greg Olsen's foot going to be for the Panthers? Came back last week, caught one pass early against the Jets, then had to sit out the whole second half. Delvin Funchess caught 7 balls on Sunday. All other Panthers combined caught 4. No other wide receiver caught 1. If they don't have Olsen at least out there on the field as a decoy, those pieces are just getting so limited for that offense. And it's a twofold problem. One is your talent's limited. 2 is you can't be sure Mike Shula is going to maximize the players you do have anyway. So we're going to be watching Greg Olsen's status real carefully this week. If he can't go, they just don't have a lot of weapons in that passing game.
I believe the New Orleans Saints win streak that came to an end against the Rams this past week and actually began in week 3 against the Carolina Panthers. So they beat them again. They did beat them. It was 23-7. If they beat them again and they have the same record, that's the tiebreaker right there. That's how big this game is for this division. Atlanta's not out of it yet, but New Orleans win this game. They take a huge step to nailing down a playoff spot and a division championship. So, you know, people are ready to say the Chiefs were a Super Bowl contender about a month ago. The wheels have fallen off for the Kansas City Chiefs. This is a massive football game for them going into East Rutherford, laying 3 points against the Jets. The over-under is 44. Chiefs offense was repeatedly booed off the field against the Buffalo Bills. Some people are calling for Mahomes to step up and in right now, but clearly he's not ready. That'd be a bad move. And you highlighted Kareem Hunt. You don't have to tell fantasy players this, Dave. So we're on the Fantasy Sports Television Network right now. You know, Kareem Hunt hasn't scored a touchdown since week 3, man. And You know, unbelievable. The yards per average cut in half right now. Amazing to see. People are ready to anoint this kid a superstar 2 months ago.
Is this where I'm supposed to play some sad violin music for the fantasy people that have Kareem Hunt? You know, Kareem Hunt's had a terrific year. If you took his stats to this point, everybody should be thrilled with it. It's just the expectations got wrong. And here's what's so bizarre, even about the quarterback situation. Alex Smith is number two in the NFL in passer rating this year. He's having the best season of his career, and they're talking about putting an untested rookie in over a guy who's done that. It's that problem of the early Kansas City offense was better than it was going to be. They came out with a few tricks, some ways to get Hunt out on the edge in the running game with different blocking schemes. They weren't good enough to maintain that. So what's happening now is just natural football regression. If at the start of the season, Gabe, you and I are saying, where are the Chiefs going to be after 11 games? We probably would have said 6-5.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't in love with them.
They're supposed to be.
You know, one thing, Dave, you brought it up, though, and you and I talked about this with Garrett as well, in which there's whispers in the Dallas Cowboys room that our coach never adjusts. We just do the same thing over and over and over, even with guys out, and other teams are figuring it out. I guess it got so bad that Phillip Rivers was identifying the plays. He was calling them out. Exactly where they were coming from. It was so obvious and predictable. And the Cowboys were embarrassed by this. At least the players were. And they said, listen, Phillip Rivers knew what was coming. He was telling his players what was coming before we were doing it. And that's on Garrett. You bring it up with Andy Reid. Andy Reid's a very good football coach, but same thing, Dave. I'm not seeing a lot of tweaks and adjustments. It's up to the coaching staff to put Hunt and Kelce and Smith in a position to succeed as opposed to running the same plays over that aren't working.
And that's what they did the first half of the season, is they were very creative. Then the defensive coordinators caught up to it. So here becomes the problem now. If someone says, okay, you need to get more out of Kareem Hunt, well, the guy's out there averaging 4.8 per carry. Over the course of an NFL season, that's about as much as you can hope for. So the question is, can they come with new tweaks? Can they now respond a little bit? And I'm not sure. You know, I said, I think they've already fired most of their good bullets. And part of that might have been that opening schedule. When you play at New England, your first game of the season, you fire your good bullets right off the get-go. You bring your best stuff out there. So this may be one of those cases where a team peaked too early. They used their best stuff too early. Now they've got to face that psychological consequence of everybody asking them what went wrong. And nothing's really gone wrong. Over the totality of 11 games, this is just who the Chiefs are.
Well, I don't know. We know that the Cleveland Browns haven't peaked too early, that's for sure. And maybe they're building up for it. They've got Josh Gordon. Speaking of fantasy football, Josh Gordon returns to the fold this weekend for the Cleveland Browns. They're taking on the Chargers. Everything's falling into place right now for the Charger football team. Even though they're 5-6, their schedule is extremely manageable. The AFC playoff picture is a very manageable one if you are in the 5-6 range. If you're 5-6, you're in it right now in the AFC. They got the Cleveland Browns this week, up to 14 in some spots. The over-under was 42.5. I'm surprised. I just saw 41.5 over at UWager, Dave. Total feels a little low in this football game. Got to believe that the Chargers are going to put some points up on the board. And we talk about the Chargers not having a home field, but L.A. is a bandwagon city. It'll start to fill up now a bit more that, you know, they're winning football games. And you got Josh Gordon coming back. The total does feel low, and you have your eye on this over-under, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, from a fantasy standpoint and a betting standpoint, the Browns could be fascinating the rest of the year. Deshaun Kizer has a lot of things missing, but the one thing he can do, Gabe, he can whip the ball down the field. Well, 2 weeks ago, you get Corey Coleman back on the field. And with Coleman on the field Sunday at Cincinnati, they had over 400 yards. When you get over 400 yards on the road in the NFL, you're doing some things right. You put Coleman and Gordon out there with a quarterback that's got a strong arm and a coach that has absolutely nothing to lose. The Browns could be hilarious fun down there, especially this week when they finally get a chance to go out and play in good weather. You know, so I think Cleveland could be real interesting. Maybe the over there gets real interesting, because if you're Hugh Jackson, you have no reason to not go to the full limit of the playbook, find out what you can get from Kizer, find out either if you want to bring Gordon back next year or maybe get a few good games out of him so you can deal him to pick up some draft picks. But Cleveland could be a lot of fun in the weeks ahead.
All right, Dave, before we get you out of here, have you taken a look at tonight's card? Normally in Point Blank, you'll post a pick for the card of the day. Not a great card tonight. I know college basketball, NBA, NHL. Interesting college basketball game tonight, Baylor and Xavier. Both pretty good basketball teams. The Xavier team might be a special team.
Xavier, and it's be a phrase we'll use a lot over the course of the winter, Xavier looks like they're going to be a good closer. And fundamentally, Sal has experience in the backcourt, and they're going to make the free throws. And that's something focus so much in on. When you see these favorites in this 3, 4, 5 range, the teams that can knock down their free throws, because if they're going to have the lead late, if the game's hanging around the point spread, that added factor of being a good finisher or a good closer, Xavier is going to be a good closer this year. They're going to, you know, kind of a Kenley Jansen-ish type of basketball team. If they're up 5 with 2 minutes left, your bet's going to be in good shape.
Dave Malinsky. Dave, I look forward to reading your column for the rest of the week. Specifically, we'll see what happens with the rankings tonight and your thoughts on all the big championship football games this weekend. We'll catch up with you next week. It's always a pleasure, sir.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
Dave Malinsky with us. You can read his column on the front page right there. Go to sportsbookreview.com. It's a great read. It'll make you much smarter. But the Kareem Hunt stuff is real, man. First 5 games of the season, he was averaging 121.8 yards per game, 6.3 yards per clip. Now, clearly, he wasn't going to continue that throughout the entire season. But right now, he's averaging 3.2 yards a rush. He's only averaging 46.8 yards a game. And he's freaking killing me, man. He's killing me. You know, I got Dak Prescott and Kareem Hunt on the same team. No wonder I'm sick. Game Time Decisions continues.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Pete Annapolis, RDS television analyst, former assistant coach with the UMass Minutemen college basketball team, will join us. We'll talk some basketball. We welcome in a man that makes his debut right here on Game Time Decisions at the Fantasy Sports television network. Oh, wait. Our producers are informing me. No, it's my bad. He's actually been on like a couple of times a long time ago. It slipped my mind. Mike Cardano. What's going on, Mike?
Just want to keep everybody wondering. You know, I want to keep the content fresh.
We're beginning to think he disappeared or something. He took a wrong turn on the Jersey Turnpike.
I saw you had Sincata on. I figured, how am I going to top that?
Yeah, Sincata was in the dark yesterday. Great stuff with Tony.
You should just have him on, have him read his radio promos.
His radio promos are the best. Like, we're talking like some Hunter-esque Tom, like, Tony, I know Tony's not baked unless he's fooled us all and Tony's like hitting a bong at night or something. Because it's like Hunter S. Thompson stuff with this guy. He's talking about fantasy sports and a bowling alley. And if you just change your bowling shoes, you'll find a new domestic partner. And I ask him all the time, I'm like, Tony, how is changing bowling shoes going to get me laid? I still haven't figured it out yet.
Well, I think all this stuff is like real life material. He says what happens to him.
Yeah, you're right. I like his mind. You're right. He's a comic, right? I don't know what he does in the late night hours, and I don't want to know. So, yeah. Exactly. All right, Mike. Over the past year or so, I haven't seen you as the president of the Colin Kaepernick fan club. You know, I don't know how you feel about the anthem protest and all that type of stuff, and I don't really want to talk about the anthem protest, but I haven't seen you as Colin Kaepernick's number one fan. But I saw you on Twitter the other day going back and forth with people who, for some reason, and it's amazing, I don't know. I mean, are they that dumb or are they just pure racist that they'll actually argue with you that Kaepernick is worse, that somehow Kaepernick is worse than Tom Savage, that he's worse than Nate Peterman, that he's worse than Blaine Gabbert, that he's worse than Drew Stanton, that he's worse than DeShone Kizer, that he's worse than Brad Hundley. It's amazing the lengths that people will go. I'm not saying Colin Kaepernick's the greatest quarterback ever, but he had 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions last year on a horrible football team that's horrible once again now. And I see other guys, Nate Peterman had 5 interceptions in a damn half. Yet Kaepernick, I don't even know if Kaepernick wants to play at this point, but I find it insane the people out there that argue, and I got into it with Matt Modica. I love Matt, but he's like, no, Brett Hundley's not better than Kaepernick. It's like, well, what am I arguing here? The sky is black, guys, whether you hate NASA or not.
Well, here's my position on this. You know, in terms of the whole protest thing, in that respect, you know, he was genius, really. He beat Trump at his own game. He wanted attention. He got it, right? So he got exactly what he wanted. He got everybody talking about it around the nation. So we got that. Now, here's the other thing is he's a big boy, and now he's suffering the consequences of what he did. He didn't expect it. He miscalculated. I mean, kind of too bad for him. Whether you agree with it or not really doesn't matter.
Oh, and him suing doesn't help. And I totally get that.
No.
I don't want to debate, and I'm not here to debate the whole count. It's been done. And I've done it a million times myself.
No, but yeah, but
people do justify still that they think the pieces of crap that are in the league right now are better than him. And it's insanity.
Yeah, my only point is if people are saying that he's not better than some of the other quarterbacks, just between the lines, they're being disingenuous and they're naive. That's my only point. I don't care what your personal feelings are on whether he kneels or stands or whatever. He was a genius in getting the attention. It worked exactly how he wanted. He's now suffering the consequences. He should have thought about that beforehand. But now it is what it is. Now, listen, I wouldn't sign him at this point either. You can't sign him once he sued the league. But before he did that, the thing is, teams are willing to actually lose.
Yeah, that's what's crazy
over this, which is really crazy to me. But it is what it is.
I know. They're willing to lose and sabotage. Like, the Houston Texans could have said, all right, you know, after Deshaun Watson's out, let's do it. Let's bring Kaepernick in and keep this thing going. He's not Deshaun, but it's the same thing almost. The players are going to like it. That's the whole thing, too. It's like the rooms would like it. It's not like it hurts your football team. Maybe your owner doesn't like it. That's what it comes down to, right? So
you think there are players on rosters that have to be furious with who they have as their quarterback.
Yeah.
When they know they could have him on the field with them. They have to be.
They know that, hey, our owner would rather lose than win because he hates this guy for whatever reasons.
No, it's more of a political thing and a money thing. What will that happen?
I think they think he's bad for ratings, the whole nine yards. I'll tell you what, he's going to win the lawsuit because I guarantee you, Rod, and they subpoena Roger Goodell's phones, all the records. You're telling me, Mike, out of 32 NFL owners, not one of them said something, A, offensive, B, racist, C, collusionist. I guarantee you there's someone that says, over my dead body, is this guy ever playing in the league again? They're screwed. Like you said, Kaepernick's never going to play again. He might be the one to take the damn league down. But let me ask you about this then. So Tyrod Taylor comes back last week. I tweeted Tyrod Taylor. Great job, Tyrod. Great to have you back and you know, great win. My Twitter blows up. Morency, you're an idiot. It was the defense that won this game. Wasn't Tyrod Taylor. Well, Tyrod Taylor was 19 to 29, 183 yards. He ran for 27 more, and he had a QB rating of 94.5. And, you know, he managed the football game, moved the sticks when he had to. Now 12 touchdowns and 3 picks on the entire season. Yet everyone's telling me they won because of the defense. Yet somehow, Mike, when they lost to the New Orleans Saints, and the Saints ran for 289 yards, it was Tyrod Taylor's fault. When they lost to the Jets, it was Tyrod Taylor's fault. So there seems to be a pattern here. You know, Bills lose, Tyrod Taylor's fault. Bills win, defense gets credit. It's a pile of freaking crap, man. And, you know, it's too far. If I was Tyrod Taylor at the end of the year, I'd just say, screw you, I want out anyways. Have fun, everyone. I'm out of here.
Listen, he's a competent quarterback. He takes care of the ball. He doesn't turn the ball over. And if your defense plays at least halfway decent, he's going to have you in the game, and you're going to have a chance to win. And in the NFL, other than three or four quarterbacks, that's about the best you can ask for. And he's very athletic. And you never know. He might be able to make a play for you and pull something out. I would take him over many, many quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, you're a Jet fan. Would you prefer him over Josh McCown?
Well, sure.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I know I have a lot of Jet fans. I know Jets media brought, like, hey, if Tyrod's
just
there.
Just with the Jets defense, he would do it. He could play for a lot of teams. You know, when he's playing well, the Bills would be very much like the Chiefs when the Chiefs are playing well.
Yeah.
If that defense can play and you can get some blocking from the offensive line, he can manage the game well enough.
There is.
And do what he needs to do.
There's a judgment about him, though, man. Like, he throws a bad pass. It's like, oh, you see, look. You know, a lot of quarterbacks throw a bad pass. Mark Mariota, you know, is Tyrod Taylor great? No. But you look at the quarterbacks now in the National Football League, he's a top 15 quarterback, 16. He's like, he's in the half tier and maybe a little bit higher. I know fantasy top 10, but, you know, maybe a little bit higher. And it's not like he's had a million weapons to work with over the years either. You know, it's the same crap. EJ Manuel wasn't great, but it's always a quarterback's fault in Buffalo, specifically the black quarterback's fault in Buffalo. All right. You know, Mike, I see you on Twitter, and I like your Twitter feed recently because, you know, you and I aren't getting any younger right now, even though I know we both look like
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, we look like we're in our late 20s, I know. But a lot of stuff upsets me, too. And maybe I was a little bit of a grumpy old man on this one when I was mocking the Miami chain. After they lost to Pittsburgh, I said, do you guys have a chain for choking?
Listen, I don't particularly care for it either. And you saw me last night on Twitter. I can't stand in football, whether it's college, it could be high school, NFL, every first down, every touchdown, every sack, there's got to be a celebration. I really would like to see, you know, like, what was it, the Grammatica kid? He was celebrating his kick and he got hurt. Yeah. I really want to see somebody celebrating and get hurt. Remember Walter Payton? He would hand the ball to the referee. Or Barry Sanders.
Remember, Walter Payton never used to run out of bounds either. I saw it happen in college the other day, and it really caught me off guard. It's like the first time in 20 years I saw it, a running back, Mike, was running down the sidelines, and instead he turned left and ran someone over. I was like, wow, hey, nice job, kid. You know, most of them, oh, I'm going to get out of bounds. You know, wide receivers now do the old slide. You know, I'm going to catch the ball, I'm going to go down. You know, we got to get out of here. You know what drives me freaking crazy? With basketball, with the free throws. Why do they all have to go slap the guy's hand at the line? When did that start? Wait, the guy's 3 feet away from you. You need to hold his hand?
When he misses the free throw, they still slap his hand.
I know. Everyone goes over. You got to reach over. The guy walks back up. Let's touch. Hey, got to reach out here, hey? And they miss the free throw anyways. I tell the guy, screw off. I'm trying to concentrate, man. Drives me crazy, Mike.
I you know what drives me crazy? Golf, where you have to be quiet. You go to a basketball game, and shooting the free throw, everybody's screaming their heads off.
Golf's the worst. I listened to Red Heat and Rage Radio today. I did some nice golf bashing today. Listen to the podcast. Thanks, Mike. See you later.
All right, take care.
Pete Annapolis joins us next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
You know, I really got to put together a list of things that bother me. I never tell you guys what bothers me. I stay silent too much about these things. I got to start giving my opinion more. But yeah, I got to make a list, seriously, of like the top 10 like rules or 20 things in sports that I'm not talking like from a bit standpoint that really sincerely bother me. Like in college basketball, the possession arrow. Just have a damn jump ball, okay? What, these kids can't jump? You know, college football. Oh, when a guy's knee is down and he catches a pass and his knee is down and no one's around him and no one's touched him, oh, he's down, the play is dead. It's stupid. Fix it, all right? I remember when I was a kid, college football, they used to not announce the player that used to get the penalty because they said, well, they're kids. We don't want to single the guy out. Actually, it was true. So they just say, holding, offensive line. They wouldn't say holding, number 68. Maybe that's not a bad idea because now you got a bunch of punk-ass brats on Twitter threatening these kids after. If you're anyone on Twitter and you threaten the life of any college athlete, you deserve to, like, get hit by a bus the second you leave your house after typing this crap to a player. Death threats, it's so stupid. All right, let's bring Pete Annapolis right now. And Pete, I was bitching about basketball players all having to touch each other's hands after they miss free throws and make free throws, whatever. I'm wondering where that started, and you might have an answer for me?
I'm thinking maybe Duke.
Why Duke? When, what, to support each other?
You remember every time there's a stoppage in play, whether it's a free throw, there's a foul called. Remember all five guys of Duke would come together. They would talk and hug each other.
Yeah, the little huddle, yeah.
Yeah, mini huddles. I think they try to get rid of it. But, you know, just what you were saying before, I mean, I tweeted something this morning. I mean, Lonzo Ball, 1-for-7, 3 points, and I'm saying he's probably one of the most overrated second overall picks in the history of the NBA. And then I got people on Twitter telling me, hey, it's still early, they're kids, leave them alone. Well, you know what? You know, I think kids should play 2 to 3 years of college basketball before coming into the NBA because they're not ready. But everybody tells me, no, they have the right to come into the NBA right away.
Yeah, and then you have the right to rip them.
I have the right to criticize them.
Exactly.
Right?
And I did my opening. I'll send you the video after. I did my opening on Luke. I don't think Luke Walton's the right guy for this young team. It's rare that I agree with LeVar Ball, but LeVar said, you got to get tougher on Lonzo. You got to get tougher on all these guys. You know, you're accepting losing. That was a disgrace last night. Lonzo Ball takes a shot with 11 seconds left, doesn't even hit the rim. You're not supposed to shoot the damn ball. He doesn't defend. He puts his hands up. It's pathetic. Lou Williams went off for 42 freaking points last night. Blake Griffin gets hurt in the final 4 minutes of the game. He's not on the floor. I don't know why Lonzo Ball was on the floor and Jordan Clarkson wasn't. It drove me crazy, but nevertheless, let's get into the other big story in the NBA. David Fizdale fired after a 7-12 start one night after benching Gasol in the fourth quarter. This one surprises me because Fizdale's a hell of a coach, and the Memphis Grizzlies are lucky over the last couple of years that they've ever done anything. They have a crappy roster. They have nothing. And for some reason, they expect to win games. And you and I talk about LeBron James. And I saw LeBron James start talking about Fizdale. I'm thinking, oh, boy, here's LeBron talking about another team again. But he's not alone. You know, LeBron James says, I need answers. You know, I feel like my man was the fall guy on this. We go on, man, down the road. Vince Carter, who played there. Vince Carter, you know, shocked. By this. Damian Lillard. We're talking about, you know, big-time guys across the NBA. Damian Lillard, shaking my head. You know, there's another guy, he said, you know, this is what's wrong with this league. It's garbage. You know, it seems like NBA players are generally pissed off around the league that Fizdale got fired.
Well, here's the situation. And if you remember back, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies have had success on the court for a number of years. You remember when Lionel Hollins was the coach? They went to a Western Conference final one year. Rudy Gay was hurt. They still went far.
Yeah, they fired him.
Right. And Lionel Hollins got fired, and he was winning 55 games a year. David Yeager comes in. They still continue winning. He's gone. He goes to Sacramento. Insert David Fizdale. Now, David Fizdale in there had a good year last year. I mean, he's a player's coach. Guys love him. You know, and play with LeBron, D-Wade. He has that street cred with him. But one thing I've learned about coaching, and especially at the professional level, if you're a head coach and you have a superstar on your team, you can't be fighting against that superstar on your team. Because at the end of the day, 99.9% of the time, the player and the superstar is going to win over the head coach. Unless you're the Montreal Canadiens, they took Michel Therrien over PK Subban. But we'll talk about that another whole segment another time, Gabe Morenci. But right now, what I'm telling you, Marc Gasol is not a guy with a big ego, right? Spanish guy, works hard.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I don't know the whole details, and I don't claim to know them. I'd like to hear more when it's going to come out. But this is brewing from last year. He's been getting on Marc Gasol at practice. And it hit the boiling point against the Brooklyn Nets. And with all due respect to the Brooklyn Nets, they come into Memphis and they beat the Grizzlies. And David Fizdale sat Gasol, and he sat two other starters, Mario Chalmers, in the end of the third quarter and then insert them in. So here's the situation. What really happened? What really transpired? A lot more is going to come out. The relationship was rocky. But it's not a good look for Memphis because Gasol is a 32-year-old aging center, which I love. Michael Conley Jr. with that max contract of $30 million a year, he seems like he's always injured, and then they got nothing around them. Nothing. With all due respect to Dylan Brooks, Canadian second-round pick, you know, Jamichael, they got Martin. You know, Tyreke Evans is your second-best player, an option as a scorer. You're going to be a little bit in trouble, but, hey, dysfunctional right now for them. And where they go from here is going to be interesting to see, Gabe.
I know Pete's a big Andre Drummond fan. We don't have a lot of time left here, but I just give props to Andre Drummond, 26 and 22 last night. 26 points, 22 boards. He also had 6 assists and 4 steals. First player with that many points, rebounds, assists, and steals since Charles Barkley on January the 20th in 1990. Since Drummond never gets any love, man. You know, if anyone else, if Embiid did this, oh, my God, oh, they're going to the Greek freak, but Drummond does it, and they don't really give him a lot of love for it. But we've only got a minute left here. We got the Heat and the Cavs tonight. Heat big win, Cavs big win last night against Philadelphia on the road. They're a little bit older, the Cleveland Cavaliers. So 3 times they played back-to-back this year. They've lost all 3 games. Miami's rested. They come in. It's first time Spoelstra's played against Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. Heat are starting to get healthier now in a 3-game win streak. I think the Heat can beat them tonight in Cleveland, Pete. We got 1 minute. What's your take on the game?
Well, I like that, you know, Eric Spoelstra, one of the most underrated coaches in the game, made the adjustment. Winslow back into the starting lineup. He's playing a lot on Whiteside, who's doing his thing in the middle. You got Josh Richardson at the small forward position, and then you got Dragic and Waiters. So they're getting production from their starting 5. They're playing small ball. Off the bench, Wayne Ellington has been surprising for North Carolina. He's putting up a lot of points. Kelly Olynyk fitting into the system as well. So I like what they're doing in terms of they're playing Spoelstra defense, but they're getting good offense from players that they're supposed to score, and that means Deion Waiters was a 15 points a game. So I think Dragic's very underrated point guard. He's going to come in. They're not afraid of anybody. I love what the Heat are doing, and I think that tonight is the game that they take over. They're sitting in 8th place overall now, cringing into the playoff position. I think that this is their time to continue making that stride. You mentioned Philly, Indiana, 2 surprising teams into the playoffs. As opposed to last year, I think the Heat are a team that can get into the playoff position as well. I mean, Whiteside and Drummond, as you mentioned, have been spectacular, but all the promo goes to Joel Embiid at the center position. But that's okay as long as they keep winning games.
All right, Pete, we got to get out of here. Thanks, Pete, Annapolis. Thank you for the time to be here. We'll come back when our plays in an A. Coming up next.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
All right, we've got a minute. We got a lot of picks here, and I might have a bonus pick for you. I'm going to take the Miami Heat +4. Cleveland Cavaliers played last night. They're 0-3 straight up and against the spread in back-to-back situations. John Wall out. for the Wizards. Give me the T-Wolves minus 5 on their home floor. Utah Jazz will lay minus 125 on the money line, and we'll go over the number with the Nuggets and the Jazz over 206. Bucks and Kings. Kings got it done last night against Golden State. So I watch a lot of Kings games. They win last night, they go back, they're going to get pasted, tattooed tonight. Give me the Bucks. Let's go over 199.5. College basketball will lay 4 with Xavier against Baylor. NHL hockey, give me the Tampa Bay Lightning, minus 160. Give me the Kings to beat the fading Red Wings. Blackhawks, can't refuse it, plus 140 on the money line. And you know what? The Vegas Golden Knights are playing at home tonight, guys. Game's a pick 'em against the Dallas Stars. I don't know, we'll take the Knights. Maybe where's the yours?